Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
Aldi. Million. Rubli.
Tribe.
Scheibe Tortelle.
Ship.
Tribe.
Hello everyone, Shannon Guss here getting you ready for our week 9 special exit interview podcast for Australian Survivor Blood versus Water. I was very lucky to get both exits this week with both of the boots. So for 19 minutes, I spoke to David at first and then after that I have Geordie. So hope you enjoy both of those chats. Got some great insights from two big players this season. Obviously had to ask about the origin of Juicy Dave. That was literally the first thing that I asked. You are about to hear it in a few seconds. So hope you enjoy both of these conversations and I will see you on the other side. Juicy Dave himself, how are you? It's good to have you on the podcast.
Oh, Shannon, great to be here. Bit devo, but great to be here.
Very fair. Obviously, it was really unfortunate to see you go last night and you were making, you know, so many moves in the last few days. And I feel like you got a lot of momentum and obviously they viewed that, which is the unfortunate part of the game. And they took you out. A lot of questions that we'll have about that. But the main question I do have, Juicy Dave as a nickname. Where did the name come from? We heard like murmurings at first tribal council. I just want it from Juicy Dave himself. What is it with the juice?
Here's the juice right now. So it was the first tribal. So what happened was Jonathan said, there was a bit going on. Jonathan said, "Are you reckon your name's up, Dave?" And I said, "But it's a Juicy Dave blindside. Sounds pretty good. It's got a ring to it." And he says, "Really?" I said, "It's got a ring to it." And he goes, "Nah." Then I started throwing grenades around and everything, and the tribe members said, "We never want to see Juicy Dave again," because as Sandy put it, that was a shit show. And so, but what it was, whenever I talk straight, they go, "Oh, here's Dave giving us the juice," and then it became Juicy Dave. And then Jonathan was actually saying, "Juicy's going for it," or "Juicy's done this." I think when I pulled that flag, he says, "Juicy, pull the flag on that rowing one." Once Jonathan says it, that's set in Survivor history.
Yeah, it took on a life of its own, for sure. It was like, you know, this other character. There was Dave, and then there was Juicy Dave. It was like another member of the cast. So that's something we enjoyed the whole season, which was fun. But awesome. I want to ask about, you know, getting onto the camp of the first Blood tribe and then throughout, where were your major relationships throughout the game? Where did you see your primary bonds?
Yeah, look, in that first, you're sort of finding your feet in the first tribe, so original red, and having Sandra gunning for me was a nerve-wracking experience. But the relationships there was Jay. I clicked with Jay straight up, and then Jay got voted out, and Amy was my next, she was my next best buddy, and we were working together, you know, in those early days, and then she got voted out. And so I was well and truly on a bottom rung there, just needing to try to recover from the Juicy Dave incident and Sandra going for me. So to be able to navigate that, there was enough big players out there that sort of did it for themselves. I think Sophie being one, she distracted a lot of that. And when you see that, you just take full advantage, just step way back into the bushes like Homer Simpson and then just disappear for a while. And then the greatest thing that happened was the tribe swap. So that allowed other fresh people to come in and had a rapport with Mark straight away, Josh straight away, and that sort of bonded. So I went from a real bottom runner to actually up into a strong alliance, which was always a great place to be. So that was probably my favourite part of the whole game because it was safe, we were dominating. And then you get into merge where it's all of a sudden it's on again. And I was one of these shifting boats. I actually said to Mark, "I'm a gun for hire, mate. So, you know, let's start shooting." So it was navigating that way, which has its disadvantages too, because you're always at the end. So when we got to that final six before the Purgatory 3 came back, I was at the bottom, no doubt. And I knew that. And I thought, how do I circuit break this? Then KJ came back with her advantage and all that sort of stuff. And that provided a few opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in that. I guess the first thing I would ask is, yeah, Sandra, the Queen of Survivor, has her sights set on you, and you didn't even vote for her in when she thought that you voted for her. Like, A, did you know it was Sam? Were you confused? Like, how did you manage this?
Look, I really didn't know, because Sam is so convincing, as you probably worked out, and she was 100% didn't. And the fact that she threw me, she didn't throw me under the bus. Sandra just assumed it was me.
Yeah, and she stepped back like Homer Simpson. Exactly.
Yeah, just did the step back and away you go, and I've got to fend this off. And, you know, I tried to do a deal with Sandra. I said, look, I'll pay you $1,000 US when this, serious. I said, I need a witness. We shook on it. $1,000 US when this show airs if I voted for you. I said, I don't want to give you $1,000, but if I voted for you, I will do it, and there's a witness. And she still wasn't convinced. She was rock solid, conned by Sam. Because at that point I thought, if I can get her across to believe that, we could actually work together as a really unlikely alliance. And I thought, imagine working with the Queen. But she was fixated on juice, and she threw me under the bus, and I told the girls what I was up to, and had to try to recover again.
Yeah, another big moment from that pre-swap was that you are chosen to go to the reward, to the store, and you choose Khan, and you get the idol, you come back and kind of try to pretend that you didn't have it until you have to play it almost immediately. But what about that whole interaction? I mean, obviously Khan had voted out Brianna, as you now know. Like, there's a lot of dynamics in that. And it does lead to, as what you're saying, like a bit of the shaky stuff later that night at Tribal Council. So do you have kind of some insights on that interaction?
Yeah, so look, I chose Khan. Initially I thought, well, this is a store, so I'm going to take the chef. But I reckon he's also involved in the Brianna incident. So I want to get a bit of the goss on that. And also once we'd got the advantage and we're in there, and he's saying, well, I need to take something back. I thought, no, you're not getting anything. You've got to have that awkward conversation with your people. And so I wanted to make it as uncomfortable as possible for them. The fact that he had an idol made it more complicated, because it was very risky, him knowing that I had an idol and I'm knowing him. So different strategies. I went the advantage thing, which I needed some lessons off Sam, but other than that, I thought I'd convinced them. He went the complete opposite. So that right before that tribal, we went there, Amy says, oh, you've got the idol, I know it. You should play it tonight. I'm just going, wow. So I'll get the idol, and already it's going to become a, if only Amy knew it, but by tomorrow everyone was going to know it, it's going to become a public idol. So I had to decide, do I keep it, risking it becomes public and then you are number one target, or do I use it to play it?
Mm-hmm. And then, getting through the swap, as you said, and that was some of your favorite times in the game. You do lose Amy, who's a main ally. Like, you are on the wrong side of the numbers tribe-wise, but they do start looking at other people from their original tribe before you, way before you, and your name doesn't seem to come up. So what can you kind of tell us about that time and about the connections, I guess, that saw you really get in there and not be a target, like, become really part of this boys' alliance that formed?
Yeah, I think it was just relationships. Like, Josh and I would have chats, and so I felt he was a genuine sort of guy that I could trust, and you're always looking for someone you can trust to a point. And we had a genuine relationship there. Mark, we got on well right from the get-go. Geordie was always a bit cagey, but he was part of that alliance, and with Jordan, and I'd been playing with Jordan. So all of a sudden you had these four guys who sort of connected, and there was enough actual cannon fodder out there to go through the stages.
What we saw at the merge was that it was based on that guys' alliance, but then it kind of became a couples thing. Which obviously you weren't a pair. So did you really see yourself strongly as part of what became like the Five Guys and Sam alliance? Or now looking back at it, do you think that you were not a part of that? Because obviously it shifts to an alliance you're vocally part of. But did you see yourself as really part of that majority from the beginning of the merge?
Yeah, so it was a couple of phases. So when we first went in there, the boys, we'd have a quick discussion, decide on who it was, and that was it. And then Sam, of course, was part of Mark. And she needed to have control. And we just went, no, we've decided. And she, when she loses control, she doesn't like it. So she was trying to regain that. And then it became about the couples because Sam got back in there. She was getting involved. I felt Sam was too chaotic. Whenever you told her something, she'd use it against you. She was clever. So I had to try to shield from her so I wouldn't talk to her, which may or may not have been the right thing to do because had I talked to her, maybe I could have got in with her and Mark a lot stronger. But, yeah, so I ended up gravitating towards Josh and Jordan and Chrissy. So I felt I was in with that four there. But it did come down to the couples being too powerful and moves have to be made. How we did it, well, that comes in later.
Yeah, I mean, the flip against Jesse and the six is, like, consolidated.
Yes.
You're canvassed a lot to flip at, like, every turn and you keep saying it's about the timing. What was your idea of what that timing should have been? And there's twists and stuff that are thrown in there that mix it all up. But, you know, aside from that, how are you kind of looking through the rest of the game?
Yeah, so I was looking again. So I'd gone from right in the middle of a strong majority to down the bottom rung again. And it was always going to be the four, the two couples, and Chrissy as I saw it. And I went, wow, if it gets down to six, then I'm the bottom again. So at some point we've got to break that up and use the other guys to be able to do that. That was tricky. The timing was, you know, you can only plan so far ahead, but you know at some point when the opportunity arises, you've got to be able to strike. And the opportunity came when KJ got that advantage, and that was the obvious. And I thought, wow, like she managed that power advantage so well. She did inform us, but it was in enough time to say, here are the people, here's how I want to do it. Are you with me? And I said, absolutely, this is what I've been looking for. We've got to break the couples up. And so we went in together knowing how we're going to play that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge flip. And you maintain that flip by pulling Josh over at the next vote, which I thought was really an amazing move. So what kind of was your approach with that? Because it's been like that was what we've been waiting for all season. Like, is someone going to turn against Sam and Mark? Is Josh going to do it? Yep. Jordy's been trying a lot. What was kind of your mindset with that?
Yeah, I was out of my tree trying to convince Josh that they had to. I was behind that they got two idols. They're just getting too powerful and it's getting too late in the game. We've got to make a move. And Josh had such a strong alliance that they kept saying, no, mate, next move. We'll get them the next move. And to me, it was just frustrating to that point where you just go, wow, we've got to move here. With the advantage, I was able to tell Josh that Sam, through her acting and carrying on, basically was said, I'm playing the idol for myself, which he did, which meant she was just leaving Jordan out to dry. Josh needed to hear that, and that was enough for him to know that Sam was a target, although he did call me Judas.
Juicy Judas is what we were
saying. Yeah, Juicy Judas, yeah, JJ, JJD. So to be able to convince him was good. So then I needed to keep him on board with Chrissy to go against Mark, but the Mark-Chrissy thing, yeah, that's where it got complicated and getting tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, speaking of Chrissy, like I think often as viewers what we saw was you were the two singles kind of with the couples in the majority, so if you were going to flip, and it's a daunting prospect to flip alone is the first thing, and also in those numbers, it felt like you needed to really be working as a pair. We never really knew a lot about your relationship. Were you kind of a pair? Was there a lot of connectivity there, or were you kind of just two people who were close to the couples in your own right?
Look, we were super tight. It was okay. Exactly that. There was the couples and then there was Chrissy and I and Mark and Sam and Josh and Jordan treated us as a couple. And we were actually working really closely together. But I said to Chrissy, I said, at some point you realise that you've got to make a move here. And I said, you're going to have to do something you're not going to want to do, and it's going to be nail one of these blokes. I said, if you do that and think about this, if you came on board with me and KJ and at the tribal, that was your move, that is a winning blow. You've actually got a chance of winning this show. And so I just kept getting into her head, you've got to make a move. Don't, because she didn't quite understand jury. That was the problem.
Mm.
She's going, so what happened? And I said, no, you, you, if you go to the end too late, people will say you just drifted to the end. You have to make a move. And that last tribal where I got voted out, it's because I was starting to make inroads. Mark and Josh could see her starting to swing. She was less going just what they were saying and starting to put up arguments.
Mm.
And to their credit, they basically said, get rid of Dave. He's more threat than Geordie, who was more chaotic, but he was less of a threat because he had less credibility.
Mm, that's really interesting, yeah, just in terms of pulling her over, which could be really deadly to someone like Josh, who's had a pretty firm grip on her. So that's an interesting way to look at that.
It would have been an absolute killer move. And I think, and I said to her, this is your chance to win the show. The three of us would have an argument. We'd have to just go to the jury. You're so popular. And I thought it was convincing.
To go with you and her and KJ, was that was what you, that's the way you wanted to
do it? That's it. Yeah. And that's why I was so emotionally engaged in there, because now I had a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I can actually get to this final three and give it a crack.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. Was there any thought to stay with what I'm now calling the Purga Four? Like, you became the majority. You did have a majority at seven, but Geordie's turning against you. He's working with Josh. You're turning against Geordie. Now you're out of the game. Does any of you look back and think, like, we really should have stayed tight as that majority at that point?
Absolutely. Like, Geordie, he needed to just settle down and go in strong. The fact was, I never trusted him because he did said he'd do a deal with me. But as you see, now he's doing a deal with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that up. So he couldn't actually ever trust him. So, and because of that, he's now damaging me going towards him, because I just went, no, he's going to just flip me under the bus somehow. Shay, now, she could have taken the two girls and they could have run the show from there. But that was, you know, they had Geordie on side, those three girls, wipe us all out. But Shay takes the boys along to the thing, burning that girl alliance, so that was dead in the water. And then you've got stability over this side. And KJ was one of those players, as you see, she's actually a player, which sort of came out of nowhere and is really fierce. But no, KJ and I can work together. Just need to drag Chrissy along, pull her out of the latches of those two blokes.
Mm, yeah, so you went for Geordie, and it was a great read on what Geordie was doing. And, you know, in another world where Geordie maybe hasn't made those side deals and where there isn't, like, some conflicting threat levels, like, you know, people have been targeting Geordie for ages. It was, like, the one time that they didn't go with it. So it definitely made sense as a plan. The last question that I have is, you know, we saw in your final words, we saw throughout, especially the beginning of the show when Brianna goes home, your jury villa, like how important it was for you to play for Brianna and the transfer of a dream. So can you just talk about how that kind of impacted your run on the show?
Well, it is exactly that. Like, getting on Survivor was all Brianna. It was her dream. She's a fan. She wanted to do it. She almost got on once before, but this time she's getting through. And then she has this little twist where, oh, Dad, I need a family member. Can you do an interview? And I'm going, what are you talking about, girl? Like, no way. Her dream, my greatest nightmare. And here we are, and we talked about it, and I said, look, I want to last the first week. I don't want to get voted out first, but the second week I'll probably get voted out. You need to take this and win it all yourself, right? And it completely reversed. Her going out really created a fire that I – and this is the thing about blood versus water that you don't get until you've seen those reactions. Like, you've got Josh, Mr. Cool. As soon as Jordan's voted out, all of a sudden he's losing his mind. Mark loses Sam. He's going, there will be consequences. Like, it has an emotional – as cool as you are and as strategic, a blood versus water really adds an element that that twists and turns. It's incredible. That turned on me. It gave me the fire in the belly to go, I've got to do as much as I can to make the family proud and transfer her dream and keep fighting.
Mm, I mean, that's really beautiful, I think, and hope a lot of listeners can identify with just, like, seeing a parent who will, A, like, go on the show. I feel like my dad would be the same. I'd be like, Dad, I need you to do it. All right, like, what is it? Just like, 10 weeks of my life? Okay. And then, you know, to really go out there and play for her. It's really beautiful to see. But Juicy Dave, I love talking to you. Love getting to understand the juice, both in name and in action. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, and congrats on a great game.
Awesome, Shannon. Thank you so much.
Bye.
See ya.
Geordie, or should I say the Joker. Welcome to RHAP. It's such a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, you were obviously such a huge character this season. I have so many questions. I want to ask, even arriving at that first water camp and through the game, what were your most pivotal relationships and connections?
Oh, great question. She's good. pivotal relationships. For me, it was Josh and I had a pretty strong relationship. You know, from the start, we got on really well personally. And then, that continued right up until sort of after merge when we tried to make a move, because while he was my friend, he was a big threat. And so Jesse and I thought, oh, this is a good time to really turn this game on its head. Didn't quite work out the way we thought. However, I managed to use that relationship, rebuild that relationship, sort of especially after the spa retreat, just to scrape through another vote.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when we see you working with Josh later, it's not just a new relationship across the aisle, it's a reconnection, which is what's so interesting about it. We saw a lot of that after the swap. We saw a lot of blue strong, boy strong. What was the thinking with the creation of that alliance, which was pretty dominant for, through that swap and then the early merge?
That's a good question. We sort of, at that point in time, you've got relationships, you've already built relationships. We'd all created connections together, and we were nervous about, being outnumbered by the old red. We were nervous at the time about being outnumbered by the girls, which is what we'd seen in past seasons. It was bound to happen, and we were just waiting for the right opportunity. And you see in conversations, the girls going, oh, the boys, and so we're going, right, we're going to have to stay strong here for a little bit, right up until it didn't suit me anymore. And then, didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of it, like, not suiting you anymore, we see a little bit of this back and forth. Like, you go to Josh and you tell Mark about the idol, which I've heard was pre-merge, actually, but then you're going for Josh. So I'm kind of confused about what the thinking was there. Like, what was the target meant to be, and what was your strategy in that whole dynamic?
So the strategy there lay in the power of knowing that Mark had the idol, right? Mm-hmm. And so I saw him find the clue, and then he told me about the idol, right? And so before he found the idol, I went to Jordan and Josh, and they said to me, do you know of anyone that found anything? And I was like, oh, here we go. I could sort of get a little knife in here and start opening this up. And I said, yeah, well, actually Mark found a clue. And they said, great, well, let us know if he finds it. I thought, excellent, I can play both sides here, Mm-hmm. And so obviously I end up telling Josh and Jordan that he's got the idol. And also Mark says to me, like, who do you think's dangerous? And I thought, great. And I said, oh, I reckon Josh is pretty dangerous, mate. What could we do? And he said, oh, maybe we could use the idol to take out Josh. And I was like, great, this is all working out perfectly. Got into merge, spoke to Jesse, said, mate, this is what I've done. What do you reckon? He's like, great, let's do it. This is the time. So myself, Jesse, Sammy, Mark got together and thought, right, let's make a move on the big dog. We can do it. Unfortunately, Mark and Sam then turned around and went, actually, I reckon you two are more dangerous. Let's go and team up with Josh. And it worked. It worked for them. They did it very well.
Mm-hmm. What was your relationship like with Mark? Because we see you say really complimentary things about him, but then we also see that there was a little bit of a disparity there between the fact that he thinks you're, like, not really going to come against him with the idol. You're evil laughing and confessional about it. You're obviously very close, but then it shifts in that way. What's the relationship like through that pre-merge and then into the early merge?
So before merge, still to this day, I really look up to Mark as a man. I always had a lot of respect for him. The way he handles his personal life and the way he handled himself in the game, I had a lot of respect for him and really looked up to him. And however, I saw that in everyone. Everyone really looked up to Mark, And so I thought, oh, this is going to be dangerous, So there was this back and forth of, trying to battle my personal, emotions and wanting to look up to Mark and work with Mark, but also knowing that he's a big threat. So there was this, back and forth. We had a lot of fun though. Mark and I had a lot of fun. We were battling it out for a little while. I was battling it out with Sammy, got rid of Sammy, And then it was on to me and Mark, and, you know, and he knew it was on and I knew it was on. And we'd laugh about it, though, you know, like we'd get back to camp and go, I'm coming for you, mate. And he'd go, yep, I'm coming for you. You know, so it was a good time.
Mm-hmm. One other thing from the pre-merge is that you are the one really shown to us as taking out Sandra. It's okay, I've forgiven you by now. It's been a couple of months, but it took a while that one stung. Where did you see your part in that? Because I know there was a lot of discourse around, like, you know, Sandra tends to go at these times. It's kind of like a natural vote, but you were putting in work, obviously, to make it happen. So where did you see your role in that vote?
So that was, for me, like, it was like, bang, right, finally I've got an opportunity to take out Sandra. I couldn't believe that she hadn't already gone. And Nate and Mark and Josh and I, we'd all spoken. We were like, how is Sandra still there? Like, yeah. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got to go, you know? And so the first opportunity, I was like, right, boys, what do you reckon? Should we do this? And they're like, yep, straight on board. Let's. It was a bit of up and sort of back and forth between Sandra and Mel. And also Amy was thrown in there as well, because we knew Mel was dangerous because she was floating and wasn't committing to anything. Amy was dangerous because she's such a little charmer. And we could see she was being sneaky. We heard about a little conversation she was having. But Sandra was, like, playing it real cool. She would have no strat chat, go and sit in the water by herself. And we thought, right, this is the time. You know, so I sort of raised it with the boys and they were on. They were like, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And we see, like, your relationship with Nina coming out there and whether to tell her and everything like that. So how did that complicate things, and what was your relationship like with Nina at the time?
That was really tough, you know, because Nina and I were tight and we still are. She stayed at my house literally like a few nights ago. But, you know, she was such a lovely girl, and she knew, like, she'd said it from the outset. She said, I know people are going to come from my mum. Just tell me though. Just tell me so I can be involved. And we were like, oh, is this her playing the game so that if we tell her, she tells her mum? Or is this her going, please, like, I want to trust you guys? And so we ended up trusting her and going, you know, we want to work with you, and we trust you, and we know that you're working with us. So that sort of came out in tribal, and she picked up what was going on, and she knew. And then we just had a couple of tricky conversations when we got back to camp, but it was fine. She didn't take it to heart. She knows it's not personal. It's a game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about this, like, huge juncture in the game where Jesse goes home and Sam takes the idol. So much in this. It's Sam and Mark obviously turning against you when you've been wanting to work with them. It's your brother going because you've won immunity. Like, you know, you probably saved yourself in that moment and he has to suffer for it. So what are all the feelings there, and what's kind of the plan coming back from that huge moment?
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough night, like, really emotional night for me. And, you know, I was always the first one to say, let's not get real, like, emotions happening here. This is not real. This is a game, you know, like, you can't take it seriously. And so that was a real battle, but I managed to stay over it a little bit. And otherwise, if I got clouded by my emotions, I wasn't going to make clear decisions. And so I knew that Mark and Sam were really gunning to sort of emotionally manipulate me in a way to feel guilty and feel bad and make me angry and upset, but I wouldn't let them have it. I wasn't going to let them have it. I was going to stay over it. And so, yeah, there was a real battle where they tried to make it feel like it was my fault, you know, like, oh, Jesse's going to suffer for the sins of his brother. I didn't do anything. Jesse was in on the plan, you know, like, we were just having a dig. Jesse was aware of everything that was happening. So, you know, it's all part of the game.
Mm-hmm. And talk us through from your perspective. So, you know, finding out that Sam has the idol in whatever aspect that you found it out through tribal council, through that moment, then coming back and they're talking to you about it. Talk us through, yeah, the idol of it all, basically.
The idol of it all. Yeah, it was hectic because we're in tribal. I knew Jesse had found the idol. And then I thought, and something that, you know, it was really interesting was when Jesse and I had a quick conversation, I said, where's the idol? And he said, it's in Sammy's bag. And I just went, oh, no. Oh, no, it's all over. Like, it's done. I knew it at that moment in time. So you don't see, I'm not sure if you see it, but I whispered to Jesse before any of the votes got read out, I said, where's the idol? And he said, yeah, Sammy's got it. And I thought, oh, God, this is not good. This is not going to end well. Like, why else would Sammy have the idol if it wasn't to be a sneak about it, you know? And she was smart. She did very well. It was very clever. And poor Jesse copped the brunt of it. But, you know, that's the game, and they outplayed us.
I mean, we, I think, felt your frustrations as a collective nation, just like screaming at them that the idol existed as you were telling everyone about it and Sam and Mark were lying back. What were the feelings in that? Just like the bang your head against a wall type frustration that no one believed it until it came out last night and people still weren't believing it. If I was frustrated, you must have been feeling it too.
Yeah, it was funny. I actually found it really entertaining because I knew that someday I would be vindicated. I knew it would come out at some point. I just wanted to make sure I was there, and I was. Thank God I was there. Because, and the funny thing is he played it and made this big speech about Jesse, you know, this being the ghost of Jesse, and I'm going to use it to take out his brother. And then he didn't have to play it anyway. I was going home anyway. And I knew it. I knew I was going home, but I just wanted to sort of scare him enough to think, oh, if we can get this out before I go, that would feel nice.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, you went out together, you and the idol that was so tied to your head.
Yeah,
that feels
completely
right. So you were on the bottom, obviously, at that point, and, like, I feel like you had, like, the perennial underdog story, which you were vocalizing would be really good for your endgame. A lot of pitching to people. Did you ever feel that you were, like, close to getting people across the line? Obviously, until after Purgatory and the advantage and everything comes out. But even before then, did you ever feel like, okay, now might be the time, or you knew no one was really working with it?
It was a real battle. Like, it was a real, real battle. Even before Purgatory, it was a battle to convince anyone to try anything. You know, like, it's so, so difficult. That was the most frustrating thing. Forget about the idol. The most frustrating thing was trying to get people to play. Like, let's play, guys. Let's do something. Why do you want to – just because you get to the end doesn't mean you're going to win. In fact, it means you're probably not going to win if you do nothing. You know, and so people just, they could just see that they had tunnel vision for the end, sitting at the, you've got to do something to get there. And if you don't get there with a story, there's no point in being there. You might as well go and eat food in the jury villa.
I mean, you took that tact of going against Sam and Mark, and we see that they were obviously like pretty happy to get you out as well. They did offer you, you know, to work with you. Did any of your thinking kind of want to go with that at any point, or did you know you were like, nah, I'm pretty much going to out this idol and just go with that?
It was mostly, so they, when we got back from that tribal council, when Jesse got booted, we, you know, they pulled me aside, had a chat and said, you know, like, we've got the idol, blah, 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 but we're happy to play it for you, or, you know, we're happy to work with you and play the idol for you so that we can take out someone else. And I learned very quickly that that was a very hollow offer and that they were throwing my name around the next day. And I thought, well, this is game over. You know, I'm gonna start swinging now, aren't I? You know, and it worked. It worked. I got her out. And so, yeah, that was good because they were very clever because they knew I had no other option. Like, at that point in time, I couldn't go back to Jordan and Josh because I'd tried to boot them. And then Mark and Sammy had just turned on me. And so they were like, oh, well, we'll work with you. But, yeah, that was a very hollow offer.
It was definitely a roller coaster to eventually getting Sam out, which included, you know, going to Purgatory. You do see that Shay's not there, so you're hopefully feeling a little good about that. Get voted out, go to Purgatory, come back, and you're, like, galvanizing everyone that you're going to do something. What were the emotions through that roller coaster, and what were the plans coming back? Because the numbers were dire. The advantage ends up helping out. But, like, what was your thinking through all of that?
Basically, from the moment that Jesse got booted, I knew it was pretty much game over. There's nothing I can do here. This is going to be a real battle. Mm-hmm. And so getting that opportunity to go to Purgatory was huge. And I thought, right, if I can, like, I saw that Shay and KJ were really emotional. They were battling some demons, like, really struggling to stay motivated and keep playing, you know, and, like, they'd virtually given up. And so I thought, right, we've got to do something, guys. Like, let's go. Like we're in trouble. We're coming back as a minority. We're going to be in trouble. So let's just have fun with it. You know, let's just have a dig. And it worked. We made some great moves, but unfortunately, my battle became keeping them playing, keeping them making moves. Because we had the majority. We had myself, KJ, Shay, and Dave. Next thing you know, KJ's throwing my name around, Dave's throwing my name around, Shay's voting for me. It's like, guys, what have you done? Like, why would you just slip back into the old storyline, you know? And so that was a real battle. And it's what undid me in the end. Unfortunately, they just they just wanted to get to the end rather than making moves. They didn't want to risk anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, going with you is a risk. So I maybe you're saying that you would kind of like ride the lightning a little bit longer with you if you could. But it's a scary prospect. And I do believe you were like a huge jury chance. So I get it to, you know, a large degree.
That's a good point. Actually, that's a good point. And I always forget that. And that's what they said. That's what they ended up saying. They said, we weren't going to beat you. We probably had a better chance of beating the others. And so if you put it like that, it actually makes a lot of sense.
With KJ's advantage, which was like, you know, such a game changer, how much did you know before Tribal Council about the plan?
So she had actually had a conversation with me before going in. So she left it right to the last minute, though. We didn't get a lot of time to talk about it. So I was like, oh, this could be it. You know, I could be going home here. And then sort of right before Tribal, she came up to me, pulled me aside for a chat and said, this is what I've got and this is what I'm going to do. And I've gone, great, let's do it, KJ. Let's go. Yeah. You know, so that was really cool. It was good to see KJ come out and have a dig and she played it quite well. I actually thought it was quite smart. A lot of people have sort of had a bit of a go at her about the way she played that. But realistically, it was our best bet. You know, like we thought maybe Sammy had the idol. We weren't sure. And so we thought, well, just in case, let's try and scare Sammy, see if she can play it. We're going to vote Jordan anyway. Mm. So the plan was always to vote Jordan. That was always the plan. Mm-hmm. Whereas some people thought, oh, Sammy scared us off and so we didn't go for Sammy. We were going into it playing Jordan the whole time. We just wanted to see if we could scare Sammy to play it.
Yeah, I think it's a great plan. Makes so much sense. I noticed as well with your plans, often what you would do is like a bait strategy, which is obviously we're talking about risk. Like that's very risky, especially knowing there were two idols. It was like, it's fine because I'll be the collateral. So let's like work on this thing. So what kind of informed that mentality? Because I always thought that was a really interesting strategy.
Yeah, for me, that was because I knew I had nothing to lose. Like my number was up for 2 weeks in a row, 14 days. I was getting told, you're next, mate. You know, so I was like, well, I'm going to be up. Like at some point, my I'm done. But let's just try and cause some carnage before I go. You know, and so I thought the only way, like no one would believe me. No one trusted me. No one wanted to try anything. So I thought, well, my only option is to say, well, if you try this and they play the idol, I go home. Like what, you know, it's a win-win for you, you know. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they were still too scared because they didn't want to break any relationships with Mike or Sam. Eventually, I got Josh over the line, and Juice helped me a bit there, which was good. And, we got Josh over the line to get rid of Sam, which was good.
Yeah, it was a long time coming for sure for you to finally get revenge on Sam. And you've been working on it for so long. So much had happened. Where do you see your role in that? Because as you're saying, Dave had passed, you had passed, you've been working on Josh for so long. So what do you think is like your best move in kind of, you know, getting Sam out? What do you think you were really doing in that?
Well, I'd had a lot of conversations with Dave going, mate, like we're running out of numbers now, mate. Like, come on, we've got to do something. I knew he was the pivotal point. He was the one because he was right in between. He was floating in between, you know. He worked with us. So I came out of purgatory and in there I said to Shane Cage, I know that Juice is our next best bet. You know, we've got to try him. We've got to convince him. He's a smart man. Surely he can see that we're running out of options. And he kept pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back. Finally got him over the line. He then went and spoke to Josh and bang, it was on. You know, so it worked out well, but God, it was hard to convince him. Man, it was hard to get him out of his shell. Really hard.
Do you think any of the deals you made explicitly with Josh as well, which we obviously see playing out even to help you through the next week and with the Spire Award, do you think that played out too, or was mostly getting Dave across who got Josh across?
Yeah, a lot of the conversations weren't shown. It was sort of, that's a funny little detail. It was a mixture. We both, Juice and I both played a role, but yeah, it was good to get see Juice step up.
Mm-hmm. I've taken a lot of your time. I have last question. Winning the car, I know was like a huge moment for you. It was really beautiful to see for me and knowing how much that would mean to you. Can you just talk through that epic moment? I don't know if you know, there's a bit of a car curse. So winning the car often means you can't win the game, but you get a car out of it. So how did that feel?
Oh, it was amazing. Like it honestly, like it's life changing. Like, I'm not a rich man. I'm not a rich man. So it makes a huge, huge difference to my life. Like, I'm so grateful and I'm in no way entitled to it at all. Like it, you know, I was lucky enough to be out there, let alone come away with a car. So I'm so grateful. It was amazing.
I said last question. I lied. I'm sorry. I'm taking so much of your time. Last actual question.
No, it's fine.
Question.
It's fine.
Last, yeah, you say that, but I know like I shouldn't be taking so much of your time. But the last actual question is, you're promising things for Josh and for Chrissy, and that was helping you get through, and I do believe you had the best chance with the jury. Would you have taken someone like Josh through to the end? Were you thinking of that, or were you thinking of different people to sit next to at the end?
No, I was always going to take Josh. I said that to him at the spa day and then said it to him a couple of days after, and you know, I thought I had him on board. I thought I had him. But we later that day, the day, last night's episode, the night I got booted, we had conversations during that day where he said, I can beat Mark. I can't beat you. And so I just went, oh, it's all over. It's done now. You know, like that was it. That was my last hope. And, you know, it worked. It got me through another night. And so it worked to a degree, but unfortunately, he clued onto the fact that I sort of had the jury in the palm of my hand there for a bit. So it was going to be tough.
For sure. We see you walk into Jury Villa and everyone gives you a standing ovation. So you know that you would have had a shot for sure. And I think they picked up on that. So it was great to get so much insight into your game. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, just watching you walk out of the game, joking as it should be for the Joker, of course, was such a joy. And I just really love the way that you went about the game and never said die. So thanks so much for coming onto the podcast.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
There you have it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed both of those conversations. I do think that there were a lot of great insights given and a lot of clarity around what happened in the season from two players in their own different ways and with different edits, but who were very integral to the action through the season. So hope you enjoyed both of those chats. And I also hope that you will check out the recap with Ricard, which I am recording tomorrow. So that'll be out hopefully soon. And that should be a big one for the penultimate week of the season. Hope you're checking out all of the other content. So we've got Talking Tribal with Haley and George. The takes on this week are already out in that format, and it's always in extended podcast form, and it's on YouTube. So anywhere in the world, you can listen to Talking Tribal. And then obviously everything happening for Survivor Global, for Survivor 42 on the feed. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. Follow me at Shannon Gates so you don't miss any of the content. Exits, Talking Tribal recaps, and then Survivor 42. It is all happening. Thank you as always for following along, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
1 million pounds.
Million
euro.
Million.
Tribes.
Scheibe trocknen.
Schiff.
Tribe.